right, everybody. We just got back from watching X-Men. What the hell was it called?
Apocalypse?
That's what it was called. That's the one. So, Schuster, how do you feel about the movie? Ooh, that's not a word.
I don't know, man.
All right, well,
there's a lot of stuff in that movie.
There was a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because the credits took forever because of all the visual effects.
I peed and came back.
You did pee and come back. I was impressed.
It took Singer how many movies to finally give us the costumes we wanted, and it only happened... Spoilers! 5, 4, 3, 2, at the end of the movie.
Right.
Come on! We want to see a goddamn X-Men film with at least a decent copy of the comic book look. And they're like, well, you sat through a 2.5 hour movie. Next time you might get it.
Yeah.
And spoilers, here's the Danger Room.
Right, with Armor Beast. Why was he armored? He doesn't need armor.
Because
he should actually be wearing less, like just a yellow Speedo and call it a day.
Because reasons.
Or a blue Speedo, was it? Blue Speedo? Yeah, I think it was blue.
Yes.
So you have mixed feelings about the movie?
How about yourself?
I was bored to tears most of this movie. Is it good? No. Is it bad? No. I was bored to tears. It was really, really boring.
Yeah, it started out just like a hodgepodge of scenes. It kind of did feel like they pulled a book out of Batman and Superman where they just decided to make the first, like, I don't even know. Like, most of the movie felt like it was just like, okay, we're going to go here and look at these characters for a brief moment. Then we're going to go over here and look at these characters for a brief moment. Then we're going to go over here and look at these characters for a brief moment. And it's just scene after scene after scene of that.
Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth. You couldn't really connect with any one character.
A movie needs to get us to connect the characters. And if you keep jumping from different characters to different characters, we don't care.
Like, the scenes weren't awful, per se. Like, the beginning, you have Angel cage fighting with...
Nightcrawler.
That was good, and that comes back. But, like...
But it was brief. It was just like, okay, Mystique walks in, we see some cage fighting, they teleport out. They wheel the blob out, which was interesting. But that's the end scene. And then go to the next scene. And it was just like, can I have more information on that? Can I care more about that? Can you make me care more about that?
I felt also that Nightcrawler was a huge plot device, as was... Well, Quicksilver wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but he's still kind of a plot device.
I have, like I've said, I think Quicksilver was too powerful in the Singerverse. And they made it known, even when he tried to fight Apocalypse at that moment.
Which was good,
but I mean, at the time, while I was watching before he, you know, just destroys his leg.
Yes.
He's overpowered.
He's a little overpowered.
And you needed a character like Apocalypse to show that you could beat another character, I guess, that's overpowered, I guess.
OP to beat OP.
OP to be OP, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And he was actually in the film for quite a bit, Quicksilver.
Right.
So, which was nice. And not to jump too much, but...
But here's the end.
I thought his... what did you think about his abrupt scene? His abrupt, you know, all of a sudden we're in this, you know, tense moment, and then it's like, bow, Quicksilver. It's just like he just comes in, like the tone just all of a sudden shifted to a lighter tone for no real reason.
Yeah, I mean, that scene was awesome, in a way. But he's just so OP... It's almost, like, distracting that he just gets up and just takes out everybody, saves everybody, and it's horrible.
And that's why
it's horrible.
So you didn't like that? You didn't like...
I liked the scene. I didn't like the feel of the scene.
Exactly.
Like, I liked the visuals of it, but I was just like, oh, all right. Well, like, him showing up right as that happened really made you like, oh, everything's fine then.
Yeah, no, there was no suspense. There's no
consequences.
Yeah.
Although there secretly was a consequence, I guess, at the end of the scene.
True. But
that's irrelevant.
But the problem was that you're going through this Cerebro scene, mm-hmm. and it's a tense, dramatic moment. There's no comedy in it.
No, not at all.
And then all of a sudden, you know, Apocalypse shows up, and it's another tense moment, and all this crazy shit, and then the Cyclops, the Quinjet, like it's not a Quinjet,
no.
The Blackbird, explodes, and then instantly, there is no in between, there's just an instant cut to an 80s song, and Quicksilver's there.
Yeah.
That's literally what it was. It took me out of the dramatic scene.
Yes, it did. It definitely did. I do like... It did feel 80s, though. They got the time period nailed down.
But did they really need to do this in the 80s?
I mean, if they're going to focus on X-Men 92 for the next one, yeah. Maybe, huh? Which, if they're idiots if they don't. If you ask me.
If they don't do a very...
X-Men 92.
Close to 92 comic/cartoon,
yep.
X-Men film. Okay, the whole phrase riots in the streets is used too much, and I won't use it there, but it will be close in the comic book world. It'll be like a giant...
There won't be riots in the street. People will just not care anymore and stop going.
That's another point that I think I have to get to. Did we say before... How I feel like Singer needs to step aside.
Step aside and let somebody else do it.
Let somebody else do it. We've had 15 years of Singer.
This movie X-Men. Wasn't awful. It just wasn't good. And I feel like nothing got accomplished watching it. I did get my original Horseman somewhat in the past scene in the beginning.
I was actually interested in that because I remember you had said you wanted the original Horseman or some form of that. And with the first scene being Apocalypse in Egypt... having his horsemen there, were they? Because
they seemed, I know they were named correct, but I just don't know. Power-wise, I don't know. But in the Singer-verse, so to speak, he gives them gifts of powers. It could really be anything.
Sure.
But they seemed close enough for me, but, you know, I mean, they looked better than they did in the comic, because that was an 80s comic, and they looked, you know, really gaudy.
Yeah.
Big shoulder pads. It was the 80s.
them shoulder pads.
Them shoulder pads.
Now, most of my Apocalypse comes from video games, the 92 cartoon, some bits here and there in the comics. So I'm not well-versed in Apocalypse, but Apocalypse is a cool character to me.
Mm-hmm.
Was he Body Swapper, the dude? Is that his power? Is that his shtick? He has a whole laundry list of powers in this film.
Right. I think that was their way to explain all his powers and him being so OP. Has he done that in the comics? He probably has. It probably was a device in one of those books, but I couldn't pinpoint it for you in the, you know, billion years of X-Men books.
Yeah.
You gotta remember, though, Apocalypse was created in the 80s. He was created in X-Factor in the mid-80s, so it's not that long of a lineage, but I mean, it's still a ton of books.
No, but...
There was 75 different X-Men books every month, so he caught up pretty quick.
Yeah, there was, you know, they showed, once they found Apocalypse to be, you know, a fan favorite character, they're just like...
Everywhere.
Women everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, the X-Men 92 cartoon, for as outdated as it can be at times... and how cheesy some of the dialogue can be, it's fairly accurate to a lot of the stuff in the book.
Yeah.
It tones it down, and yeah, Wolverine just tries to curse and doesn't.
Oh, it's great.
But
it's so great.
It's great. But it's still fairly accurate to the ideas of the storylines.
Okay. Yeah, because, like I said, I don't know necessarily too much about Apocalypse, but I like Apocalypse. He appears in shit that I've seen,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't always reveal a lot of his character and a lot of his powers.
Now that there's like a Kid Apocalypse and there's all this
stuff,
I don't even care.
F is fuck is going on with Kid Apocalypse. When I was reading that, and
you have to understand, I haven't cared about the X-Men in years in the comics. I still try to care about them in the movies. I've been trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to support comic movies. Now we got our wish. We got a million comic movies, and now we're just not getting all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Per se. This movie looked good. It just, the pacing of it bored me.
Yeah.
The pacing was really bad. The casting I thought was fine. I liked Nightcrawler. I loved Psylocke. I loved
I wasn't sure I liked the look of Nightcrawler initially. He kind of
grew
like
on
me. Like an emo.
It's tough because the other Nightcrawler was pretty good.
Yeah. Was it Fleming? I forget his last.
I don't remember.
Yeah. But he was fantastic. And he didn't body it, this Nightcrawler.
You know, he was still good.
He did have a lot of that, which I liked. He actually didn't bother me. The thing is, I've seen stills, and when I see the stills of Nightcrawler, I go, oh my god, they've got, like, the hair swishing across the one eye.
Do all kinds of weird little things. Like, even Mystique, her forehead looked different. Like, it's a new movie, let's update her appearance.
I heard that they changed the costume. They don't paint her anymore. It's like a skin-tight blue suit now.
Interesting. I don't blame her for not wanting to be painted.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But
however, if I'm being paid millions of dollars and I'm a giant star, you can paint me blue.
You can paint me blue now for $20. That's an official contest, everybody. You just email us, capesandscalespodcast@gmail.com.
You can win painting Tim blue.
Paint me. Not a problem. Not a problem.
But
Ryan Young, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, the pacing of the film was rough. Like I said, it just was a hodgepodge of scenes together.
And the horsemen didn't do a ton. Like, I felt like all they did was stand behind him and pose.
It kind of felt... my problem was that Apocalypse just kind of went around going, oh...
Right.
Give you a boost.
Oh, when he got
give you a boost.
When he goes to Angel and they're playing The Four Horsemen by Metallica, I was like, come on. Why are you doing that? The song they played is called The Four Horsemen.
Okay. I like the heavy metal aspect, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no, that's okay. A total...
No, that's...
cheesy little thing they threw in there.
Okay.
Some people like that. I just was like, oh, God, really?
Oh, Moira McTaggart stuff.
Moira McTaggart!
Okay, first off...
First.
This bullshit. Like, I don't like all the jokes that they had with that. Oh, I wanted to see her. I wanted to get...
I spied on her with Cerebro.
I'm a giant pervert, Professor X.
This is why the common man can't have Cerebro. CIA needs to come and take it.
It took me away from the movie.
Yeah.
It really did. The jokes.
Why do you think that was? To make him seem more human?
I guess so. I guess it was the writer's attempt to kind of bring him down. But that's not Professor X.
It's not what we want.
It's not
what I think we everything want. Else from him later was fine.
It was great. It was fine.
Because he's amazing.
He's great. No, there's no problems with McAvoy. But I was just like, he's making, like, voyeurism jokes about Moira McTaggart.
Right.
For no reason. That adds nothing to it. Mm-hmm. And wasn't... It bothered me.
Right.
Now, the part that I think is an interesting conundrum is later, spoilers, not that this is already a giant spoiler cast.
Spoiler cast.
he gives back her memories.
Right.
Is that a giant dick move?
It's kind of a dick move.
Or is it like an olive branch? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Because that's an interesting...
Well, they played it off like it's a good thing.
They did.
Because she calls all the world leaders, and she's like, they helped us, don't hurt them.
Yeah.
So, is it a good thing? I guess that's a plot point to look over in the next movies.
Yeah.
But,
it was an interesting arc they had from previous films.
Yeah.
But it is, and I'm not hating on it, because I didn't hate it. But it was also interesting. I was just like, okay... What do you do when all of a sudden, you found out that a small portion of your life was just erased from memory, but now you have it back again?
I think it's a terrible thing to do to a person.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, would you want it back, or do you just start over with this person since they came back in your life?
Do you trust him now?
No, I wouldn't trust him ever.
That's the thing, yeah.
I would never trust him. I'm very much the government in these movies, where I'm like, nope, take him, take Cerebro, take the mansion, storm it, lock up the kids. I am totally that, because when it comes There are things government knows best. There are things I don't need to know. They take care of it. That's what you're paying your taxes for, actually. The threats that you don't know
that
about.
That's an interesting way to go.
I'm not wrong, in a way.
No, I didn't say you're wrong. I just said founded. It was I was thinking more of just on the personal level of just like...
No, on a personal level, do I trust him when he gives me all my memories back? I'm like, give whatever else you took from me, give him back. How do I know he doesn't, like, you know, do other weird things to people?
So, that was actually a bonus, a plus for me from the film, because it made me think about something like that.
You got something out of it, you thought.
I thought.
Good for you.
But it took, you know, 3 frickin' movies that.
So we should talk about specific things that people would want us to talk about.
Honestly, it felt like I was saying earlier, though, it did feel like Apocalypse just kind of just was going around mumbling about how he doesn't like how shit is, and he's just giving people powers for the entire movie. He doesn't do anything. He literally doesn't do anything.
He was good when he did stuff. He just, it took the whole, nothing happens till the last act.
Exactly.
Very little. Jubilee did nothing. I'm sorry, Leander. I'm very sorry.
Yet again,
but she did not. She didn't even use her powers once.
But it
was didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Nothing. Sorry.
And it was such a. She was like the first casting for this movie. It was such a big deal. They're like, holy crap! They're doing perhaps 92 X. And then no. She took a car ride.
She took a car ride to the mall, like
where they saw Return of the Jedi.
And hated on it.
And made a joke about the third one being the worst one. Last Stand, looking at you.
Very much looking at you. I wouldn't put this with Last Stand in terms of trilogies, because
that's what I wondered, because I'm like, isn't this technically part of a trilogy now?
You could definitely consider this a trilogy due to
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past does change it. But would you... Yeah, because, like, First Class was technically in the original
universe. So technically the third one.
It would technically be the first one, in a way. The second one, I guess. Because Days of Future Past.
Yeah, but it's both.
Days and Apocalypse are technically in their own universe.
So you're saying they avoided the trilogy thing by rebooting?
Soft rebooting. I mean, I think
this one should be considered the third.
I agree. But I'm also throwing it out there that technically
First Class and then Days of Future Past is part of that universe.
Yeah.
Even though they soft rebooted things with their plot devices.
Yeah, never mind. My point is invalid. I will digress.
Oh my god. I won. I win. It's recorded.
It's recorded.
Evidence. Hooray.
But yeah, it's definitely its own trilogy, and it's definitely the worst of the trilogy.
Yes.
It's not on par with...
Because the action, at least in Days of Future Past, was pretty awesome. The action in the beginning of that movie was great. Like, if you got nothing else out of it, you got your popcorn movie out of Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past had a coherent storyline. You could follow it. You were enjoying it. Or at least I would hope you enjoyed it throughout the film. You got it. You weren't bored. Here, just a hodgepodge of scenes.
I enjoyed a couple characters more than I thought I would.
Okay.
Nightcrawler I figured would grow on me, and he did. Cyclops actually grew on me.
Cyclops wasn't bad.
He was alright. Jean Grey I thought was fine. I thought I was going to hate her. She was fine.
Yeah, she was fine.
Angel was good. Like, I feel almost everybody was good. Psylocke didn't do enough.
Psylocke did nothing.
She did absolutely nothing. But she'll be back. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, that was another thing. It's just like you put so many characters in a film.
Do what? Like, Storm barely did anything.
Yeah.
No, and, like, the Horsemen did virtually nothing. Even Magneto, who has a lot of screen time as far as actually doing things, didn't. And that'll probably eternally be my complaint of this movie.
Yes.
Because movies don't have to be comic book, you know, by the numbers, but...
I have moved over to that camp. I was in the early days...
It's gotta be this!
It fucking just rip it for the comics! Why can't you fucking do that? Now, over a decade plus, I've moved over to, there's some shit you can't do, changing it and whatnot. Because there's a lot of the Marvel Universe stuff isn't exactly from the comics. and look right. at Civil War. Civil War is fantastic, and that's got pieces from the comic, but it's not the same.
And you know what? The biggest reason for that is the split between Fox and Sony having some of their properties. Not having the Fantastic Four eliminates a ton of options. Mm-hmm. You can't do a lot of their space stuff. So, and every event, if you want to do it by the books, has the Fantastic Four, has Wolverine.
Reed Richards is doing some shit. That's basically what he's a busy guy.
We have science questions to stretch. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
And Wolverine, like I said, is in everything.
Everything.
Well, not anymore.
Womp, 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 womp. Speaking of Wolverine. What is your opinions
of
on that?
Of his appearance?
His appearance. Spoilers, if you didn't know he was in the film.
He's in the film.
He's totally in
it. He's let loose to slaughter a bunch of people. They made him look like Weapon X. Just like, actually, it looked a lot like the toy from back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, it looked
80s. It was less helmet and more like...
Right. Just, yeah. And he did have that. It was...
Visor-ish.
It was kind of like that.
Yeah.
And I like the nod. I did notice there's like a joystick as part of the helmet. There's like a control pad on it. And it looks very like Xboxy. And I'm like, make it a Nintendo joystick. Like I was like picking that apart.
Wow. I'm like, I didn't even notice
that. Yeah, if you look, there's like a D-pad or something like above his eye. And I'm just, and that's me just being like super dumb about it. But and I can admit that. But I'm just like, I don't know. But I liked him. I liked the appearance. I liked everything about it.
It was one of the best parts of the film, honestly.
It was really good. It was a plot device, but a good plot device. It definitely helped move things along. It's kind of a plot device.
No. I'm not having a problem because it's not a plot device. I almost feel like that whole thing was thrown in there.
Last minute?
Yeah, it felt like the whole movie was building up, and then when it happened, it kind of feels like they had something else.
And then they threw that in,
but they're like, Hugh Jackman, we got Hugh Jackman, so let's rewrite it. And they kind of just rewrote that they went to...
I like that, but then again, the only complaint I have about it is that the end of that scene where Gene gives him parts of his brain, his memory mm-hmm. back, and he just scampers away into the night.
He kind
of
just does... He kind of scampers away into the wilderness.
It was a little weird. I wanted there to be some sort of, like... I wanted him to say anything, because there's supposed to be a love triangle. I know that's not established, but just, like... show some interest in her in a way where it's like, oh my god, you did so much for me.
I guess.
Also, it took her like 5 minutes of silence to give him those memories back. Like, she just like has her hands on his forehead and she just like
giving him a head rub.
You have all this stress right here, Logan.
Right here.
It's right here. If you just loosen that up, you'll remember your family throughout time. Yeah. Because you're old. You're probably older than Apocalypse. You were a horseman five times over, probably.
That was another thing. He totally, if he's a mutant that throughout history changed shit, that history stopped. That's 3600 right. BC.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
because of the way he falls. Right. Which, by the way, that's the longest pit in the history of pits.
Oh my god, I was so mad. I tried so hard not to check out at that point. They're falling the length of the pyramid, and I get it. It's a big thing coming into the ground, but it's not going to fall that far.
Holy shit. And they're going really fast.
The horseman, whichever horseman it is, I don't know, the female horseman who falls... Oh, that's going to be loud. She falls and
hits... I did it over here. You did it right over the mic.
Fuck them. That's what you get. You know better than to listen to us with earbuds. So, falls. I did it lightly. And she doesn't just splat into a bazillion pieces with that
fall. She doesn't just completely crumble.
I don't care how superpowered you are. She should have just been splatted into oblivion. And but I like the idea of... them always protecting him. Like, those horsemen in the past scene protected him perfectly till the bitter end.
not us modern mutants. We're ready to stab you in the back at any turn.
Yeah. Is that Mystique? I have a poster of her on my wall. Zap. The only one who was stuck with him was Psylocke, who kind of did the least.
Yeah.
What are they doing with... I don't even know what they're going to do with her.
They built that up. They built her up. They're like, look, we gave you the comic book costume. Everybody loves.
We casted somebody you love. Now let's just keep her in the background, posing.
Let's have her have a mediocre scene with Beast. Very mediocre. That is very... another thing about this film, and this brings me into that Beast versus Psylocke, is very... Maybe it's because I've been watching so many action films, and I'm just, you know, desensitized to it, but very obvious wire work. I felt the CGI in the film. I felt the CGI in the film in many of the places
Beast
looked really bad.
Beast jumping.
Yeah.
It could have felt better.
It's
his the car, when he threw the car, it was so bad.
Yeah, the wire work.
He stopped the car that was moving quite fast, stops it, grabs it, spins it around to throw it back, but it slows so much. It just didn't.
That's another thing.
And he throws it
there
so
times,
far. It didn't add up.
There was a time when Apocalypse was in his giant temple, and he sends Angel away to go protect him, and he's just like, woof. Wolf, and just slowly but surely glyphs off the ground and leaves the scene just really slowly. And then there's another point where he's just like, I'm gonna go super fast!
Right.
And I'm just like, that takes me out. You lift off like you're on a wire, but then they CGI him going, you know, fast in the air later.
Aside from that, I liked Angel, but I do agree with that.
I didn't say this liked Angel. I'm actually merely tearing apart the special effects.
No, you're right. I'm going on a tangent because I'm surprised I liked Angel. Except for his Metallica music, tongue-in-cheek. Yes.
Yeah, that was...
I like that he was a drunk. I'm like, I don't know why he's a drunk, but whatever.
He's just character genius.
He's a bird in the rafters, drinking, throwing bottles.
He's got one wing now.
Yeah, I mean,
Sephiroth.
Yeah. He's nowhere near that interesting.
They should have just played that. One-winged angel.
Maybe.
But no, I had a lot of problems with the special effects. They just felt they were too obvious. They felt a little too cartoony. I did feel they could have went back in the studio and touched it up a bit. And I feel like an asshole, because I don't do any of that shit. This is true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about special effects. But as a moviegoer, I'm supposed to be immersed in the film. And if I'm, you know, seeing these ships that have all the cargo, containers.
Right.
And the cargo containers totally look like a cartoon to me. And it's going to be rough for me to enjoy the film.
Now, like we had said earlier, there's so many names in the credits, especially once you get to special effects. You feel like there's too many people? Like, do you need this big of a team to make this crazy-looking movie?
I felt for an Apocalypse storyline, for a character that has the name Apocalypse, you need to have some kind of big event, but I also feel that you could have better special effects. I don't know how else to say that. Yeah, you've got a laundry list of people who were, you know, on the team, but they didn't. I just didn't feel like they delivered in a lot of parts.
I feel like there needs to be more time taken on these movies.
Mm-hmm.
I wait an extra year. It's not a problem if the movie looks that much better.
The one I want to bring up with that is the Warcraft film that's coming out.
Yep.
Which I think is good. Looks good. I'm a fan of Warcraft, but the reason why I'm bringing it up is Legendary actually decided to not release the movie for like I think a whole year, like 8 months or something. They sent it back to the guys and said, make this shit look as good as possible. And they spent the money and the time to go back and just keep touching up all the special effects. Because that movie is bought and sold on the special effects.
Sure.
You know, you have
a ton of CGI characters.
It's almost the entire movie is CGI related. And if you don't feel like the characters are going to give the performances or they're going to look weird or whatever, it's not going to sell the movie. My opinion is, I think they did a good job from the trailers, and I'm going to go see that film. But that gives you another point. You give me to another point of, yeah, you should decide to go back and spend the money and the time to touch it up.
I mean, if it's a money issue, okay. But there's so many other avenues of storytelling without CGI.
True. And I actually completely agree with you there. Mm-hmm. I will say, when you're dealing with a character called Apocalypse.
Oh, no, I get it. It's a superhero movie. You need something.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to use, like, old-school puppeteering and effects, which I don't think is going to work too good on a grand scale.
I'm sorry for this.
Oh, here it is.
I really am.
You hate the 80s and the puppeteering and the classic
effects?
No,
but I'm going to bring up... Female Ghostbusters.
No, come on. We were having such a good time.
We were. I apologize. But that is one of the problems with this bullshit movie that's coming out, is you've got shitty CGI as ghosts, but go back and watch Ghostbusters 1 and 2. You've got awesome, cool-looking puppetry.
Why do we gotta talk about that? We were having a good time.
I took my glasses off.
You did.
That's how.
I'm taking mine off, too.
This is hell. I'm sorry.
This was a nice place with nice things. We weren't fighting. We were agreeing, making points.
We weren't happy, but we were
in a happy place.
We were at least neutral.
And you had to go and take that from me.
I did. I'm going to put my glasses back on because it's not, you know.
If we can't see. we can't see the audio in the room.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of real shit. In movies.
Right.
Jurassic Park 1 was great with the puppeteered raptors and the real, huge 12-foot T-Rex that was real and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then you get to the other Jurassic Parks where it's all CGI and it doesn't look as good.
I hated the second one.
I'm sorry.
I hated that movie so bad.
I took my glasses off again.
Thank you.
Because that movie has a special place in my heart.
The second one does?
Yes. I grew up watching that.
You love the second
one? Jeff Goldblum, man.
You can love Jeff Goldblum. That's fine. Oh, that second one.
They cut you from the team?
So bad. So bad. It's so bad. It's just a friggin' dinosaur running around.
Ooh, and Oz. And then it goes the screaming and yelling. Mm. Oh, man, I love that movie.
Good for you. I learned something terrible about you today. Oh, it's so bad.
Now, if you want to talk about 3, that's a different story. We can hate on 3 all day.
I don't even know if I've seen 3, because I checked out so hard from 2. And I know the newest one's pretty decent.
It's fine.
It's sitting on my DVR.
But guess what? It suffers again. It's all CGI. It's all CGI.
Well, I mean, we'll hit a point where CGI gets a little better. Maybe. It's tough. Like, you look at things from the 80s, yes, some of it's cool, but, like, it kind of works it away because your film was grainier. Like, it was different.
It's funny because, a lot of that 80s films, I think, actually look cool. Mm-hmm. Are probably just byproducts of just, the era and what they had access to.
An actual film,
yeah.
Because everything's so clear and so crisp.
Everything
creates a new set of problems.
Digitized.
Right. Walking around with
Speaking of not doing digitized, I think that's one of many reasons why I like Force Awakens. They use real film. They didn't film it digitally. They, whipped out the film.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, maybe we just need to go back.
That's not as cost effective. It'll never happen. Outside of indie films.
Right.
I don't think it'll happen too much. You need a giant film, like Star Wars, that can afford it.
But that's what I'm saying. These films got $250 million budget.
Yeah, but they're making back losses from other shitty movies, Fanforestick.
That's not my fault.
It's not your fault.
Don't make shitty movies.
Don't make the movies
in the future.
It's not
shittier
your fault.
Because you made shitty movies in the past.
They just don't learn from their mistakes.
Well, that's the real reason.
Because they make the money anyways, because people like us are going to go see it anyways, because we want to talk about it on our podcast. We're the problem. We need to tip the microphone over and walk away.
We did pay for the tickets today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Anyways.
Yeah, it was... Overall, it was... Meh.
It was very meh.
Yeah.
It wasn't insulting, per se.
It wasn't Last Stand insulting.
No, the god, no. How did you feel? Now, this is major spoilers. How did you feel about the end with Jean Grey?
Popping the Phoenix cooldown?
Yeah.
the Warcraft reference for anyone out there. RPG reference, more so.
You're their hero. You brought that up.
I did, yeah.
You're not their hero. Go on.
But yeah, it just takes Professor X to go, unleash your power. And she's like, oh, I got the Phoenix for just a few moments. Let me destroy
the
Apocalypse.
And that's the thing. Like, the Horseman's powers were very different, I felt, in ways from the comic. But I could forgive it because they're powered up by Apocalypse. Like, Psylocke with, like, that whip thing.
I was going to say...
I don't remember, really...
She doesn't get a whip, from what I remember. She kind of just has blades.
Right. I mean, maybe she did at some point. I don't know. I don't really care.
True.
Either way, I can forgive it, because as far as... Like I said in the pre-show to this, I said, as long as it makes sense in the movie, which him getting all those people made sense in the movie. It took way too goddamn long, but it made perfect sense who he went after.
Him touching the television.
Him touching the television. Yes. Flicking through the
80s
television.
What are you doing? I'm learning.
He did say it like that. He should have said, help, I've fallen and I can't get up. He could have done a timely reference to the 80s.
He's like, what are you doing? Hold on, I gotta unplug and plug it back in, okay? I got it to work now.
Bug lips, why are you stuck on Skinamax?
Hold on, I have to reboot.
Just blow on it. Just blow on it. It'll work.
Just blow the cartridge.
It's a connector issue. Just jam it in there really hard. You'll get it.
Oh my god, it was so bad. That was so cheesy. That was... And
as an idea, I wasn't against it, but the way they did it...
No, him magically having the ability to now, pre-internet, just go and watch any television that ever happened...
It was a little weird.
Because...
It was just funny.
It was, but it was... Like, as a premise, it's just like... The whole line at the beginning of the film that says he's walked by this a billion times and he has all these powers...
Right.
Is a giant cop-out and allows you to just do whatever you want.
It is a cop-out. They have to... I don't know. They have to identify to the non-comic reader that he is the end-all be-all. He is crazy powerful. More powerful than Magneto and anything you've seen in these other movies. And they have to find a way to bring him up to speed because they went the route of him being trapped for all those years instead of him just slowly being in the shadows... building up powers, or whatever he's doing. So they had to... They did kind of cop out. But, like, they had wasted so much time on all these things, on him going from place to place. The setup with Magneto, while I appreciate it...
He nomads around.
Magneto is nomading around. Like, all the stuff with his wife and his kid, and I'm like...
What is your opinion on that?
I don't dislike it, but I'm like, why? Why is this so much of the movie? You could have told me this story a little quicker, and it would have gotten the same point across.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like I said, pacing is the biggest problem of this movie. Timing, you could have cut it down and added more fighting. It doesn't even have to be that epic showdown at the end, the CGI spot fest, basically, where it's, you cut the car in half, you jump here, you do this, this wire work up to this roof, let's wire over to here, let's fall in the plane, let's just have a regular fist fight. Like when
CGI, I just remember when he's yelling because he wants Professor X, and then he rips off the nearest building, or they're in the nearest building.
Yeah. I actually thought that was funny. I thought that was pretty
They're not
funny.
Like blocks away. No, they're just like, I hope he doesn't see us over here.
And they're all talking and shit. I'm like, he can hear you. He's right there.
He's right outside your window.
He just happened to be in the building right next to you.
I mean, maybe that tells you guys something.
Also, CGI, did you notice when the plane goes down, when Angel's in the plane, didn't it, like, hit way too early? Like, it looked like... I
have to go back and watch it.
I had, like... I don't know, maybe it's me. I had, like, a depth perception issue with that. Because, like, I'm like, oh, he's... is he gonna get out of the plane? The plane's falling. Oh, the plane exploded. Okay. What? It just seemed way too soon.
Yeah.
It bugged me.
And... Two official death counts in the film.
Two is the death count that I recall.
Okay.
Outside of what Wolverine did. If you're taking that out of the equation.
Well, relevant.
Relevant?
Relevant, non-red shirts.
No red shirts? No then red yes. Shirts. Two is... Two
Lots
is...
of red shirts died in Weapon X, let's put it to you that way.
Yeah. Or is it three? Three, I guess, is the death count.
Yeah, technically three.
Technically three.
Yeah.
So.
That's another thing. I don't know why. Now, I guess for me, it doesn't matter as much because it's not a Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it when they kill off the villain every time.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I'm getting sick and tired of that. You know, because you can't use. Because if you're going to do a continuity and you're planning on doing years of movies,
right.
Not that you can't. Not that you're going to run out of shit. There's 75 years of comic book history.
Right.
But any of these characters have had multiple arcs that you could have used. And
that's why I was like ecstatic in Civil War. Spoilers. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I was really pumped that Zemo lived.
He lived.
I was pumped, and I was like, oh yes, Thunderbolts can happen with him if they want.
Exactly.
Especially if Suicide Squad does well. Mm-hmm. You might as well do Thunderbolts. Throw it on Netflix, give him Moon Knight. He's not even a criminal. Just fucking do it.
Oh, the real push.
I'll get my Moon Knight eventually. I'm not worried.
You might.
I probably will. It seems like a strong possibility.
It might be.
He fits that world, but now we're just getting too off topic.
But... I was going to say earlier, this is like maybe you, the listening audience, have realized that we're laughing a lot at this movie. It has a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
None of it really, you know, it was just a neutral film. And of course, we're going to laugh about a lot of the crazier shit. But yeah, it just kind of just was. It was.
I really think the biggest problem is the pacing. I don't feel like any one character or actor was terrible, per se. Apocalypse was fine, I thought. Could he have been more like the comic? Of course he could have. But
He never actually grows.
Right. Not in... that was in the
psychic... That was a dream sequence.
Psychic world. And I liked and that. That was one of my favorite parts, him and Xavier in the psychic world.
Yeah, and that was cool.
Xavier just runs up to him and starts punching him. I'm like, whoa,
fist fight! And he punches him like somebody who doesn't know how to fight.
Which was also good.
I know the viewing audience can't see it.
Thank God I can. The worst fighting ever.
Just imagine somebody who doesn't know how to fight is punching somebody.
Nothing but haymakers, you know, swinging for the fences, breaking your fists, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I could appreciate that, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And McAvoy could probably fight better than that, actually.
I'm pretty sure McAvoy can keep pulling over asses.
He's like,
probably.
Well, we gotta tone it down, I gotta act like I don't know what I'm doing. Alright.
Exactly. But no, one of the things I remember from the 92 cartoon, which is where a lot of my knowledge comes from, is that fucking Apocalypse gets really big. His whole thing is that he can grow and shrink his molecular structure. He never fucking does that.
Right. Well,
he just takes sand and kills people.
Yeah, there was a lot of use of sand.
I get it, you're from Egypt.
I'm gonna stick you into this wall. That was he's like, what do I like to do? Stick people in walls?
He's the T-1000.
Maybe I don't
he's
murder
the T-1000 of X-Men. He's just like...
Walls.
he did that a lot.
It is interesting. I would like him to do the whole growing thing in the actual world. Whenever you see growing in movies, there's really no consequences. I liked the Giant Man sequence in Civil War.
That was consequences, though.
There was consequences. My favorite, and this is going to go way back, Image Comics, Wildcats, way back in the day.
Wow.
Maul, the character Maul, was my favorite character that grew because he would just keep growing, and if he reached a certain point, he would get so big he would get dumber as he grew. He would just couldn't control himself. He would just be mindless and crazy Hulk attacking, and they had a psychic on the team to bring him back, shrink him back down. But there was you knock out the psychic, then he's just rampaging.
Yeah.
I always liked that. Now, Wildcats did not last forever. It's still around. DC owns it, but...
Yeah, I saw the bandit guy. I don't know his name.
Grifter.
Saw him in DC. I think it was the Flashpoint Paradox?
Possibly. Yeah, they rebooted it when they did the New 52. He had his own book for a little bit, and it got canned. So the characters are out there. The villain, Hellspont, he fought Superman at one point, which cool. I picked that up. I'm like, I just need to see this. I can't believe it's actually happening.
Yeah.
It makes sense because Jim Lee owned Wildcats and Wildstorm, and it all got folded into DC, but at the same time, it's just kind
of
cool.
Reminds me, I gotta pick up my copy of Rebirth.
You should.
I should.
You should.
Yeah.
But that's a discussion for another time.
That is a different discussion.
You know what? Maybe we'll end it here and we'll talk about that, and we'll throw that up sometime soon, too. We could talk about Rebirth. We could talk about Captain America has big rumblings. Superman had some decent rumblings. Justice League had some rumblings. We could talk about all
that's
that
a
stuff.
Whole podcast. Maybe.
Four issues, actually like five issues came out this week that all had...
Big events. Big revelations.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. I almost wonder if Marvel released the Captain America that way so that it would disrupt DC. Because as a guy who works in a comic book store, Rebirth sold out like instantly. We had a ton of it sold out. Gone can't get it from the distributor. Like, it's gone. It's
oh,
gone.
I can't get a copy now?
You will never get it. So.
Well, I guess I'm not reading Rebirth.
Nope, you don't need to. So. But then the whole, it almost was like a viral attack that everybody knew what happened in it. And then the Captain America issue flew off the shelves instead.
That was my other thing. I was like, you know, as much as I hate it, I would buy it for...
You know what? I've had it in my hands so many times. It's like, do I want to read... I'm like, no, I don't. I really don't care. I read my three Marvel books. I read my Daredevil. I read my Moon Knight and my Howard the Duck.
I'm barely floating at five comics.
It's tough sometimes. You go through cycles. It's waves. Yeah. It's what it is as far as comic collecting.
Yeah.
You get a bad writer or a bad artist that you just can't get over it, you're going to be out. Have to truly love
a book. I was at like 10 at one time, I think. Maybe even a little higher. I had to cut it all down.
And you reach points where you're like, wow, if I look back at all the books, like, you collect them and you don't trade them back in. Mm-hmm. I have, I don't know, so many runs of like 20 issues, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore, and I stop it. And it's like, well, now I've got 20 issues of just bleh. I should just trade it all in or sell it or whatever. It's a shame. But then I get real angry when it goes to like 30 issues, and I'm like, oh, 10 more issues, I would have had the whole series.
That's why I'm considering buying the rest of Darth Vader, because I found out it ends at 20, and I stopped at
25.
Like... 25? I thought it was 20.
25 is the last issue.
Okay. Yeah, and I stopped at like 13 or 14. I'm just like, well, it isn't that much to get the full series. But
right.
But this is a tangent, by the way.
It is a tangent.
This is a tangent.
People like tangents.
Overall, your opinions on X-Men Apocalypse?
I think the movie
maybe
is...
Maybe a number?
A number. We'll 10. Do a scale 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest thing ever. This movie, for me, it's solidly a... it's got to be 5. It can't get bumped up to 6. I don't hate it. I don't loathe it. I don't really care. Like, would I watch it again? Probably not. Like, even free on TV, like, I don't know that I need to. You know, maybe in a few years just to refresh, but, like, I don't... It didn't do enough for me to feel that I need to ever see it again.
My 10 scale is... different than most people's.
good to lead with that.
So, I'm giving it a tentative 6.
Okay. Tentative on what?
Just because I just saw the film. Let it sit.
So it's a 6 until you rethink about it, and it could go up or down, depending? It could go down. It's at least a 6.
It's at least a 6.
So we'll average this to a 5.5 and call it a day?
I'm agreeing.
All right, so there you have it. Capes and Scowls movie review for X-Men Apocalypse. It gets a 5.5.
Yeah.
Just there. It's just a thing to watch if you have nothing else to do. But go outside and get some sun and play and do things.
Get some sun.
Yeah, go out in the sun. Go out and stare at the sun.
Just stare at it. Just think good wide look.
Yep. Might be the last thing you see. All right. Anything else you want to say to your loving fans before we sign off?
That'll
do.